This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. The lines are all jammed up like I told you they're going to be. And then from the 9 o'clock hour, you guys got to wake up a little earlier. You know, we drag our butts in here early, right, Bob?
Yes, we do.
Let's get back. Just kidding, guys. You can call us whenever you like. Let's get right to your calls again. William was fighting with his Roku, and believe
it or not, still here.
You're still there. Okay, William. So we did some research here, and yes, you can perform a factory reset. And in some cases, the Rokus have a tactile button.
Yeah.
In some cases, they have a button that you need to stick a pen in or a paper clip to reset it.
Okay.
And you got to get your magnifying glass out, get some light on that thing, and locate your specific reset button. Some are very difficult to see. Some are very easy to see.
Okay.
And if you do the reset, then you'll start fresh, right? So when you then connect the Roku to your TV, it's going to go through its processes of identifying your network and finding your SSID and follow the step-by-step. And that's usually the best way to go about it. If this was configured before you set up your own modem and Wi-Fi, it's probably looking for the past network.
Yeah, the outdated address, right?
Yeah, so by resetting it, you'll have better luck, considering you have no ability to talk to it right now.
Right. Okay, good. I'll try it. If that doesn't work, I'll use an 8-pound dead blow hammer.
Well, that'll work. And then check out the NVIDIA Shield as an alternative streaming box. That's what I use, and it's very highly rated. NVIDIA is very much known for its graphics abilities and its processing power, and they've got a new one out called, it's an NVIDIA Pro 2019. So if your Roku doesn't work out and you want to get a really good streaming device, I've had great luck with mine.
Okay, good. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, William.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Bye.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. So, yep, factory reset. When in doubt, especially those things, let's just go ahead and just start over. It's easier. Let's go to Sherry in Plainville. What's going on, Sherry?
Morning. I called a while ago, so I tried to call early.
Oh, that's Matt slacking back there, not answering the phone. I don't know what to do.
No, I have two questions.
Yes.
One is political in nature.
Uh-oh.
I hear you talk about 5G once in a while, and
sure.
Just interested in finding out how much you think the taxpayers should pay in Governor Lamont's transportation plan for 5G for commuters in Fairfield and Greenwich.
Wait, 5G is a Wi-Fi system. You're telling me Lamont's got a transportation plan that has 5G as part of it?
Of course.
I didn't notice that.
Of course, we have to move into the future.
Well, I don't think taxpayers should pay a penny for anything to do with 5G. That should be the companies that want to offer it to us. I have to go check that out, Sherry. I have no idea why that would be part of our transportation bill.
Oh, because people need to be able to be occupied with their business the entire time they're traveling on the train, maybe 10 minutes faster.
Oh, there it is, yes.
Out of Connecticut.
I did hear that he wanted to make sure that the trains and all that had 5G capabilities. So, yeah, I mean, we're already subsidizing those things pretty heavily. I think we're losing a ton of money per ticket. So
absolutely.
I would think that the travelers who want to use the service should be paying for that by the minute. You know, basically, if you want to use the Connecticut Rail and you want to get on a 5G service, let's charge them $3 a minute.
So if we have a company that can't make a profit and can't stay in business, then we should get the government to support it.
Right.
Subsidize
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's my feeling on that, Sherry. We shouldn't be subsidizing that at all. There's plenty of big companies out there that would want to offer that service for a fee, and the taxpayer shouldn't pay for that.
Oh, okay. That's great. My other question, I am a Luddite from way back, and
okay.
So I have a zillion problems with my brand-new iPhone that my son got me. It's a free iPhone, Mom.
Very nice.
But one of I'm waiting to see how free this turns out to be month by month. But with junk mail, something over probably about a month ago made my junk mail just explode.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to follow that back, or that's totally a waste of time?
Who's your email provider?
Hotmail.
Well, there's your first problem. That's a Microsoft product. So Hotmail, number one, get off of that service. However, if you still like to use that service, you can log into your Hotmail account through a web browser, and then you should go into the spam settings, and you should crank them up. Turn up the detection to a higher level so it reduces the amount of junk coming at you.
But it wouldn't have been one particular thing. It just seemed like it was very specific just about a month ago.
A type of junk mail?
The volume.
I mean, the volume,
get one or two pieces, and then all of a sudden, I get dozens a day.
Yeah, most likely they changed something on their settings at Hotmail that did not detect these messages as junk.
And then I have ones that go to junk that aren't junk, so
right.
I have to go through my junk mail because...
It's false positives, yeah. False positive. So again, that free Hotmail service from Microsoft is anything free is you're the commodity.
Okay.
So I would tell you that you should consider a more professional way to get your email. And now, yes, Bob brought up ProtonMail, used by both the hackers and regular people alike. That is encrypted mail out of Switzerland. You can try that, or you can try your internet service provider. And Bob has also, we can put a link up there for you as far as how to modify your junk mail settings in Hotmail if you'd like to.
Okay, and then some of them you just hit the trash can and they supposedly go away. And then other ones you can hit the unsubscribe, and then it comes to... Please specify an email address that you would like removed, which makes me nervous. And I have to fill in my... You already sent email to me. Why do you need my address for you not to send me more?
I know. It's frustrating. Some of those are legit from legit companies that will actually not send you any more email. And then others are just trying to figure out if you're live over there.
They've got a real...
They've got one
on the hook.
Yeah.
Well, there's one that's called... This one that I just pulled up is safemailremove.com, which I don't know if that's...
That sounds like you're being put on a list to me. I couldn't tell you, Sherry. It's one of the wild, wild west out there.
Oh, my God.
And who knows if that email could be coming from, California or, Kazakhstan or Kazakhstan, you name it. Who knows where it's coming from?
Okay. Well, that's part of it is wonderful when they do come from those crazy places, because I got a little anxious when I read through something from what looked like a semi-legit, and then you look and say, these people can't even speak English.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your hint.
Why don't they have somebody that can write a
sentence?
Note that people would really buy into when you realize that they don't have punctuation or spelling or...
Because they're criminals.
And because 2-3% of you still click on them.
Oh, even...
So they don't even need to invest in grammar school. They just need to let you click on them anyways. You'll still bite. That's the reason why. And two to three percent of $3 billion is a big number.
The reason they're criminals is they're too lazy to learn how to speak English.
So, okay. Sherry, good luck. But I would tell you to turn up your spam filter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I had no idea we were trying to subsidize 5G on this as well. Well, we've got nothing but money to spend here in Connecticut, right? We're just flush with cash. We're going to step out for a quick break. Actually, I was leaving the grocery store. On my way home, right? I'm going and saying, okay, honey, we're either going to have Polish for dinner or Mexican for dinner. And she didn't tell me which one. So I'm going in there and buying some taco shells and buying some pierogies and buying a kielbasa and all that. And I got some sour cream in case she chooses Mexican. And I get to the checkout. There's not a bag to be seen.
Yep.
I'm walking out of the store balancing a pile of this stuff in my arms, saying to myself, it's the year 2020 almost. I'm in Connecticut, and I'm going to drop my sour cream on the
Everybody's bringing in their own bag.
Well, I didn't have them. I came from work. I don't have a bag in my car. I just find it ridiculous. And then you think about Amazon in your neighborhood. If you can't say you're for the environment and you're dealing with 10 cents on reusable bags, and then you're okay with the fact that there's a flood of Amazon trucks coming in and out of our neighborhoods. I mean, hundreds of these guys in and out coming. I mean, you'll get an order for batteries from one truck, and you'll get an order for a shirt on another truck. All the cardboard up the wazoo. I mean, the amount of cardboard we're producing, you can't be thinking that's ecologically friendly, can you? But yes, 10 cents on a bag is important. You should have some logistics. Or as it used to be when I used to work for UPS
way back,
you had logistics.
The question is that 10 cents, which is called by the governor a reasonable fee, is actually about 100 times more than the bag cost.
I know. But I mean, I'm balancing my sour cream.
And it's going to the government. It's not going to pay for the bag.
But I'm balancing my sour cream, and I get a box of batteries that's in a box so big full of cardboard and air and plastic. How does that make any sense to anybody?
We just take it, put it back in the cart, take the cart out to the car.
I know.
And put it in.
I just felt ridiculous. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. We got two lines open for you. What's your feeling on Amazon? Do you think that approach is actually ecologically
sound?
Guess what?
Now, instead of reusing the bags for garbage bags, I actually have to buy trash bags.
I know. Same amount of bags. We'll
so
be right back.
We're saving money.
Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. And we're going to go to Paul in Litchfield next. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning. I was looking earlier in the show concerning Windows Defender and everything else.
Yes.
I have WebRoot.
Good.
And you guys got me to go looking around, and I realized that I installed WebRoot, but I never disconnected Windows Defender. So I went to Programs and Features, and I clicked two boxes to turn it off.
It should have automatically been off if it detected WebRoot on your machine.
No. Where did I go? Programs and Features and Computer.
It'd be under security, actually. It'd be under your security settings. Your WebRoot should...
There we go.
Yeah. It should be under, that should be turned off when it detects another antivirus already on your machine.
No, there are actually two checkboxes, and both have Windows Defender as running, so I check them off, and hopefully that was...
Windows...
Looking at the rest of this thing on the control panel, I have BitLocker drive encryption available.
Right.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? See, I'm at that computer level where I know just enough to be, like, totally dangerous.
Yes.
Where I bring it into your plug and say, it don't work no more, and I don't know why.
Yeah. We love those guys. We love you guys. You keep us in business.
So you have at least a Windows Professional, not home and business or home version.
That is true, yeah.
All right. So based on your first question, you only need one antivirus running, so make sure WebRoot is active, and it sounds like it is. For Bitdefender, basically if you have a laptop and you've got any client data on that laptop, you'd want to encrypt the hard drive. So Bitdefender will encrypt the drive so that if you lost your laptop, like let's say you're at a gas station and you left your laptop on the front seat and someone opened the door and took it out of your car, you wouldn't have a bunch of client data on it that they could access because you would have encrypted it by turning on Bitdefender. Now, this is a home computer, the chances are low someone's going to come in there and take your machine out of your home. But again, if you have any client data on there that you would be embarrassed if it got out, you should encrypt that drive and use Bitdefender to do it. Now, if you lose that password, no one's helping you.
Make sure you save that encryption key.
Yes.
Or you're done. You're toast.
I should save the encryption key, say to my backup.
A USB stick.
No.
What's that?
No.
You could do it to a USB stick or write it down, right, Bob?
Well, what I recommend is that you print it.
You can print it too, yeah.
Put it somewhere safe.
It's a very crazy bunch of characters that
save
you need
to
do.
Save it to a USB stick and put the USB stick away. Don't continue to use it.
Right. Yeah, because if you ever have to deal with getting back into your system, you forget that password that allows you to decrypt the drive and use it every day, that key is your only hope.
Gotcha. Now, one final question. Mm. There's a thing here called storage spaces. I said, hey, that looks interesting.
Mm.
And apparently, I have the ability to set up a storage space settings. You can create a storage pool. So is that just a fancy term for I go out and buy an external hard drive?
It's going to allow you to mess around with your drive settings. If you're happy with how your drive is working, I don't think I'd recommend you touch it.
Okay.
Don't get too crazy.
Good answer.
Yeah, don't break anything there, Paul.
I won't.
All right.
Now, regarding, we're talking about these people with that can't speak English and so forth.
On the phishing emails?
Yeah.
Yeah, people falling for them.
Has anybody ever read some of the stuff posted on the internet by supposedly intelligent people talking about spelling and syntax and grammar?
Believe it or not, I think you're right in that the culture has gotten to a point where I'm just as guilty, that we don't use punctuation, we don't use grammar the way we were taught to, and we become almost conditioned. Yeah, texting.
People are shortcutting. Instead of saying Y-O-U, it's just a U.
Right.
And instead of saying 4, F-O-R, it's just a number 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right, Paul. I think the culture is changing to just accept all that, and that makes it easier for the folks who can't speak the language to trick us.
Yeah, because they look just like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, you too, Paul. Yeah, he makes a point. Let's go on to Karen in South Windsor. What's going on, Karen?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm just calling, and I apologize if you had already recommended this to the woman who was trying to get her photos off her iPhone, because I kind of caught you on the tail end.
That's okay. Do you have a tool for her? Do you have a suggestion?
Well, no, the same exact, and I'm completely illiterate with iPhones and computers. So
okay.
So I was trying to do the same thing, and the same exact thing happened. I kept saying yes. This computer's mine. Yes, this phone is there. Yes, it's unlocked. And it would get to the page I use. I always use Picasso. It should bring the pictures in.
Yeah.
And it kept, nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. iPhone wasn't working. And I was very frustrated. I was like, oh my God, what's going on? But I tried 16 different times. So finally I was talking to a woman at work and she's like, well, what are you using? I said, I'm using the cord. It all was about the cord.
Oh.
I was using a cheap, stopping at 7-Eleven to pick up a cord because you can't find your charger cord.
Yeah.
And it's not a data cord. So I had to go, literally, I just went to the Apple store and bought a real cord for iPhone.
$50 later.
It was actually like only $20, so I just got the
only 20.
One I could get.
Yep.
I plugged it in that night and my pictures, everything, boom, like no problem.
Good point, Karen, because you're right. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, it was as easy as I was hooking my phone to the computer with a cheap cord that had no data in it.
Just dealing with charging, not dealing with data. All right, good point, Karen. I think that could help a lot of people. That could be part of the problem, yeah.
Yeah, because the questions came up. I answered everything like she said, and I'm hearing her, and I'm like, I know! That's what's happening.
I can fix it. I can fix this. That sounds great, Karen.
Yeah, so I just figured I'd call and let her know that if she's using one of the cheaper cords that aren't data.
We appreciate the call.
All right, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. She's like Chekhov on the movie. I know how to do this. I can do this. All right, let's go on to Joni in Windsor Locks really quick here. Joni, before the bottom of the hour, I may have to hold you over. Or Joanne, sorry.
Okay. Malware Bytes. I called earlier about it. I found it in the listing.
Oh, good. It's still there.
How do I get it back now?
Well, it is there. So it's running on your computer. You just need to add a shortcut to it. Right, Bob?
Right. So you can write... Is it in your programs menu?
Programs and features? Or is it all programs itself?
The programs. When you hit the little square, the little window, can you navigate down to it?
It'll be under the M's. It's alphabetical.
Yeah, I see. It says Malware Bytes.
All right. So if you right-click on that, you can see it says send to start and send to taskbar. So you can, you can go further down. It says more. And then you can say send to your desktop.
Right. So you got to choose what you're going to do with that based on those options that are right there. Right click, make the choices, and put it back. You must have just deleted it off your bar there. So
it'll say pin to taskbar, pin to start.
Right. All right, hope that helps you out. Joanne, we're going to step out for a quick break here this morning for the news. So, Dennis, hang on. James, Len, one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G is posting it feverishly for you. And, of course, if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, the actual links will get right into your news feed if Mark Zuckerberg deems them worthy. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. One line open for you. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. I did post that link up there as far as Connecticut being the number one state to find its schools hit with ransomware in 2019. Seven school districts were hit in 2019 in Connecticut with ransomware attacks. The school district that did the best at resolving them was, believe it or not, Louisiana. And they were able to deal with that because they declared they have a response team that is set up by the governor down there to deal with ransomware attacks on their government entities. And, of course, obviously, you're dealing also with a state maybe that did a better job of backing up and dealing with ransomware attacks in the first place. But I'll put the link up there for you guys to read yourselves. And I also looked at that claim that the woman made about the 5G and how we're supporting it. And I did see some stuff on this new metro, that north line there. What's that line that goes between Springfield and Hartford, I guess, that the governor's partnering with the cellular folks to give better service. Now, whenever you see partnering, obviously worry about us paying for it for them. But really, the cellular folks really should be the ones paying for the upgrades, not you and I. But there is something that is in the news here about us. Quote unquote, the state partnering with AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon to improve cellular service dead spots, right, on the railway. Now, you'd think there wouldn't be dead spots between New Haven and Springfield by now in the year 2020, but it seems there are. Let's go on to James in Enfield. What's going on, James?
Hi, how are you? Let's see. This has probably been covered before, but. Uh-huh. And I'm not in front of my computer, but
right.
I have one old computer I'm trying to get pictures off of and put it on a newer one. I think it's Windows 7 Enterprise or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not in front of the computer right now. But anyway, so I go on and so I click on pictures and I see all the icons and little mini pictures and I click on one and it comes out and say I want to print it and mm-hmm. I get a little box that says it's image not found or something like that and a bunch of stuff under it. Well, I'm looking at it and it's on the thing. How come I can't do anything with it?
Is it just the thumbnail you're actually looking at rather than the...
I look at the thumbnail and I can enlarge it, you know, to fill the screen and I can go, you know, I can scan them right through.
Right.
But when I say I want to print one... And then I get this box as image not found or something like that.
Right, but if you're trying to print the thumbnail, it may not be a full image. You want to print the image itself. Is it a JPEG? Is it a GIF? What kind of image?
Well, see, this is the thing. I had several different cameras they were taken with, and all point-and-shoot cameras. But, you know, some of them were good. And I'm not sure. Now, Ken... can those images be changed from one format to another to use somewhere
else? If you use a tool like Lightshow, Photoshop, you can change them to one from one type to another, depending on what type of file you created. But I suspect the file you're trying to print is not one that the machine is understanding, and you're trying to print maybe a thumbnail or something silly, and not the actual photo. Because if you see the photo,
yeah, I mean, if I click on it, it fills the screen.
Well, see, filling the screen is not necessarily the photo itself.
To manipulate image, you want some sort of an image software,
right?
Okay.
So you want an image software. Photoshop is more expensive, but the point is that then you can save the images in a different format.
Right.
So okay. Convert them, if you will.
Yeah, I think, James, you're not actually... I mean, you should be able to print anything you see on your screen, right? But
well, that would seem so. I mean, it's there. So why does it tell me they can't find it? That's a strange...
That is a strange thing, except that I don't think you're actually printing that image. You're printing the thumbnail of the image or something weird.
Well, the thumbnail is basically just a shortcut to the image.
To the image, yeah. But the shortcut's not the image. It's a shortcut to the image, like Bob's saying. So I think you're not on the actual image itself. It sounds like you're doing something silly.
But if it fills the screen,
right-click on that shortcut
and
choose Properties, and it'll tell you what the location of the actual image is. Then you can navigate. It'll say Open Folder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever tried that.
And then if you go in there and you find it's not there.
Right. But you should find the actual image and print it. Try printing it. So make sure it's a JPEG. Make sure it's a common graphical image, and if you still can't print it, then you got a bigger problem. But I would think you're not printing the
image. Some of them I can. Maybe a real old Kodak camera I had; those were fine. You know, it was only 3 megapixels or something like that. And I can always get those. But then if I had one with a newer GE camera that I got a few years ago, then sometimes it might be the format that the camera has.
I think it's the format of the file that you're having trouble printing. Yes, but what you see on the screen is called what you see is what you get. WYSIWYG. The graphics that show you the image should still be able to print a picture for you. But there's something up with that file that your printer either your printer driver is not understanding, or it's not locating the file itself, or you're just looking at a thumbnail of it, and it's not the actual image, but something weird going on there, James.
Okay, and what's the best format for general use and to, like, try to load on an external drive? I've also had trouble with that, but that's been another topic I'm not going to get into.
Yeah,
now,
well, it's a copy and a paste, right? So you want to go to your folders of your files, and if they're in RAW or if they're in JPEG, I always use JPEG because I'm not that much of a photographer, though. If you're somebody who really cares about the picture and really wants to edit it and use Photoshop and what have you, then there's...
No, just vacation snapshots.
Yeah,
more or less,
JPEG.
Most
I would
of the time.
Do it in JPEG. That way you're going to do it in a format that most systems understand. You should be able to copy them that way, too.
Okay. All right. I'll see what I can come up with. Thank
you very
much.
Curious to what's going on there, James. Let me know if what actually is occurring.
Okay.
Thanks, James. That is very bizarre. If you see it on the screen, you should be able to print it out. I got a feeling I'm missing something, but I can't think of what I'm missing. Let's go to Len in Burlington. What's up, Len?
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been having triple play from Comcast and using voice over IP for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to the end of my 2-year commitment.
Yep.
And I heard you recommending UMA.
Yeah.
So I went on Amazon and I looked at some of the commentary about UMA.
Yeah.
And I found some really negative things. Like it said, it took me 3 weeks to port my number over.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a warranty if you buy it from Amazon. Very poor customer service to resolve problems.
Yep. You're going to find that with anything. You can list a negative comment about anybody you deal with. But my experience was wonderful. I don't even use it anymore. But to just pay nothing for your phone line and just pay the federal taxes, it was great. And the porting issues, just so you know about porting, it's not necessarily the UMA device that's having trouble. Most likely, it's the third party. it'd be the Comcast, the Frontiers of the world. We see it all the time in our voice over IP installations for our business clients. They don't want to release the numbers. They make you jump through so many hoops to release the numbers. So it could be that those people are complaining about the fact that it really wasn't UMA's fault. It's the carrier's fault on the release, because now they've made it more difficult because they don't want you to grab people's legitimate numbers. Obviously, they want to prove you have the number, and they want to make porting more secure, which is a good thing. But sometimes it's just ignorance on those people's parts that are posting those negative comments, that they don't understand how porting works. And customer service, what do you want? It's free. It's free phone number. go ahead and complain. It's free. All you're doing is paying the taxes. So everyone complain about something, but I've had good luck with it.
What about if you want to cancel? Do they give you a hard time if you change?
Cancel what? It's free.
Well, they do have small monthly charges, right?
If you choose the more premium services, but you don't need to. So you're only paying is the
features that I like that I think you have to pay a small amount to get.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of this is it's on, if you do it through a credit card, right? I've never had any issues canceling, but you can always dispute charges through credit cards if you are getting a service you don't like.
Good point. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to. Comments. Yeah, you got it, Len. I can tell you, anything on Amazon, the comments, man. I don't like buying things online anyways, but some of those comments, got to take them with a grain of salt. And I'm not getting anything for recommending UMA. You can use any voice over IP provider you'd like. They just happen to offer a service where it's free. Let's go to Dennis. Actually, you know what? I got to step out for a quick break here, right? Where's Matt? Yeah, there he is. Step out for a quick break. And Dennis, hang on. Three lines open for you. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. We are back. And let's get right to your calls. You're filling up the board again. Let's go right to Dennis in Windsor Locks. What's going on, Dennis?
Hi.
Hey.
I don't know if you can hear me, but
yeah.
I was calling about the phishing email spelling.
Yeah.
And there's a theory that it's on purpose.
Could be.
It's a pre-gullibility test. You have bad spelling and you don't catch it, well, you have some gullibility.
It could be true, man. Yeah, whatever it is, people are clicking on them to the tune of millions and millions and billions of dollars worth of ransom. So,
yeah, I got a kick hearing you about your in the supermarket without the bag.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
And but then I go into my own neighborhood and it's chock full of Amazon trucks.
Yeah.
And I was telling Bob off air, the other part of that story is, even we don't buy a lot of stuff online, but when we did, we stuffed our recycling bin with all this cardboard, right? And I could audibly hear the garbage man cursing me because he was trying to bang the cardboard out of the thing. He couldn't get it out. I could hear him just,
you
f-bombing
packed it in
me.
Too tight.
Yeah, I don't blame. You can't bring it to bulky waste, and our garage was just covered in cardboard for a couple of things that we picked up. And I'm thinking to myself, the state cares about a plastic bag, but I'm buried in cardboard.
The thing I love is you feel guilty about the plastic bag, but they'll print billions of lottery tickets. They're absolute trash the same day.
That's true, too. I mean, it just doesn't make any logical sense to me. And it just I'm going to drop my sour cream because of a bag problem. It's just crazy. I don't know. I don't know what it is, Dennis. I just figured I'd bring it up because I feel guilty a little bit about. I mean, you guys know I've been on the air for 25 years. I'm not a big tree hugger, but to see an army of Amazon trucks delivering individual, I might have three deliveries in one day, depending on what my wife decided to buy. Doesn't that feel a little icky? Couldn't there be better logistics where the one truck delivers everything to your neighborhood? Why must I need an army of Amazon trucks coming in and out of the neighborhood?
Didn't Amazon buy Whole Foods?
They did.
Oh, yeah.
So you can order through Whole Foods and have them deliver your groceries and you don't
and
have
to a cardboard box.
You don't have to worry about the bags.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So I don't know, Dennis.
Okay. Well, take care.
Thanks for the call. Goodness gracious. I don't know what we're doing here in Connecticut. Let's go to Kate in West Hartford. What's up, Kate?
Good morning. I heard your comments about the shortening of our English language words.
Yes, ma'am.
Many years ago, I worked in Boston, and across the street was a retail store.
Yeah.
And their slogan across the top of the store was "You," the character "you."
Yeah.
bought BOT at Raymond's. And that goes back to the 50s.
Oh, wow.
Long before cell phones were found.
All right. So this is already something in the culture. Okay.
It was. And I just it just brought back so many memories hearing you talking about it.
Yeah. That's what, you know, it's crazy these days. We're shortening the language to the point where
you can't understand what anybody's saying.
No. The kids
well,
know what they're saying.
Very simple, though. You bought.
Yeah.
It made, you know, made sense. And it was a slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Boston area film.
Very cool, Kate.
Anyways, thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks for letting us. Thanks for joining us on this morning. Let's go on to John in Newington. What's going on, John?
Hi. I have a question. I have an Office Jet 5740 printer, which seems to be printing all the time in the wrong colors. I've done a reset through, like, downloading the Office Jet software and back into it.
Yeah, for calibration?
For calibration. Doesn't seem to calibrate things. The yellow seems to come out as the primary color.
Yeesh.
The cartridge and everything is the correct one that they require, or not require, but it's not a fillable cartridge. It's a name brand cartridge.
Name brand HP cartridge or a third party?
No, it's an HP cartridge.
Okay, so you're using everything you're supposed to be doing.
Yep, and it's running off an HP laptop. It's running wireless.
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're getting more yellows than you're expecting. Like on your,
yeah.
Are you trying to match up printing with screen, an image or something like that for like maybe a logo or a...
No, just a basic download of something. If you can download a page, the color won't be right on the picture.
Huh.
And the font color of the typed items will be a lot lighter than it should be. It should be black and white, I would imagine.
All right. Well, what I would tell you to start with first, if you've already done the calibration on the printer, we're going to assume HP is calibrating its printer correctly, and whatever data it's receiving from you is incorrect.
Okay.
And generally, that's driven by the video driver of your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell you to go up and update your video driver to see if that can be corrected, and that might correct your color issue. It may not.
Okay.
But if we have to assume on one side of the aisle or the other, let's assume the printer is calibrated correctly and it knows how much yellow it's supposed to put in when it's asked for.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's assume that there's something wrong with how it's translating that information when it goes from the video. They speak together. The printer and the video driver talk together. So update that and see if that works. If that doesn't work, I would uninstall the driver completely and reinstall it to make sure there's no issues there as far as how it's working with the video.
Download the latest driver from the HP site.
From the printer, yeah, for the printer. Have you done that yet, Mike? I'm John, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's good. Let me try that and hope it works out. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Great show.
Oh, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. So sometimes it's hard to get all that to work together, but if you've calibrated it, it should work. Let's go to Mike in Wallingford next. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an unsophisticated user, and I'm shopping for a new laptop or a desktop, and I was wondering if you could share a simple checklist for me as I'm looking for, in terms of security and memory.
Okay.
And it's just to help you out. I'm not a gamer.
Okay.
I wouldn't be downloading movies, but more like email and downloading photos from my phone, paying bills online, so security would definitely be a concern.
Yep. All right, so generally, an i5 processor is what I'm going to recommend. Eighth or ninth gen or better, if you can find it. i5 processor. You need 8 gigs of RAM or more. And a solid-state drive would be nice. It's going to be a little higher in cost there, so you'll have a lot more performance with a solid-state. Or a hybrid drive, which offers some of the solid-state performance at a lower price.
Okay.
And then as far as desktop or laptop, it really comes to your preference. If you're going to be portable with it all the time, then get a laptop. If it's going to be stationary and sitting in your den or something or your office, I would tell you to get a PC. It'll last a whole lot longer than a laptop because they just take a beating.
Okay, makes sense. And how about for security? I've heard a lot of your more sophisticated callers talking about some of the security systems that they use.
OpenDNS. You want to configure OpenDNS on your computers, even if you don't buy a laptop or a computer. That's something important to give you much safer browsing. It's easy to do. We have instructions on our website that you can follow right from the folks at Cisco. And we recommend Webroot antivirus. Don't use the free stuff that comes with the computer. Don't use that 90-day version of whatever they're going to throw on the thing you're going to buy, unless you like the brand, which is fine with me. But we like WebRoot. It's a good tool and does a good job.
It's lightweight.
Okay. Yeah. And that's WebRoot?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Hey, thank you very much. I enjoyed the show today.
Thanks. Good. Good luck. Okay. All right. He's out there shopping. So we'll have links out there for OpenDNS, of course, and WebRoot and all that stuff that we talk about today. But it's important to get the security these days compared to the old days when you did everything for free. I mean, in the old days, Kaspersky was not really thought of as a big threat. But now you think about it, it's a Russian antivirus program. AVG, Avast, these are Czech Republic antivirus programs. Nothing wrong with the Czechs. But again, if you're really serious about some security these days, you need to think about it a little differently. And running OpenDNS is really a no-brainer. You need to be on a safer internet. It's free, and it's powered by Cisco. So I know we talk about if it's free or the commodity, but they're doing it purely because of the business side of the equation. So it's worth running, and it works well, and it gives you the ability to filter your internet and keep the kids off the bad sites, too. You can actually filter types of sites. So your internet's not just the open wild, wild west. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything today over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alexi's up next in the green room. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice.
See you next week.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.